Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The union case before the Supreme Court that just recently resulted in a 4-4 split shows the importance of Justice Scalia and the importance of filling his seat with someone who respects the original understanding of the Constitution. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're going to be talking about this case with Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. This case was a major case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Rebecca Friedrichs, an Orange County, California public school teacher for around 30 years, a person who I had the opportunity to meet in California, was the lead but not the only plaintiff in the case. And everyone was predicting that what the Supreme Court was going to do is issue a landmark decision, freeing up workers and ruling against the unions. Why? Because in the lower court and in the Court of Appeals, the courts ruled against the plaintiffs who were arguing against forced unionism. Why? Because the Supreme Court had a previous precedent and they had no choice. The Supreme Court could have allowed that decision to stand because they already had a previous ruling a number of years ago, but they took the case. Why did they take the case? Because it appeared that there were five people on the Supreme Court that were ready to go in a more constitutional direction, but that has now been quashed with this 4-4 split.
And isn't it almost certain that there was? I mean,
I think there's little doubt.
It would have been a 5-4 victory for the Constitution. And just to give the bottom line here, this is for anyone, even if they're not a member of a union, a government worker who says, you know, I cannot in good conscience be a member of a union because the unions are a money laundering system in order to funnel money into the Democratic Party and to liberal causes and liberal organizations. I mean, there's not even any arguing that. That's what the unions do. So people's union dues, government employees, teachers, other individuals, when you pay your dues, if you're part of the union, you don't get to choose what causes and what party your funds go to. The unions choose that. Well, this goes beyond that. This says even if you're not a member of the union, simply by virtue of being a government employee through collective bargaining, we're going to come in and basically reach into your wallet. And even though you're not a union member, we're going to steal your money, these dues, so that we can continue to fund the Democratic Party or these liberal causes and so forth. And so this case, you know, clearly, I mean, that's as unconstitutional as it gets. It probably would have been a 5-4 decision. Now it's a 4-4 decision. So here what was set up to be a great victory for freedom, now because of Antonin Scalia's demise and because his position has not been filled with a like-minded constitutionalist, here we have this horrible decision. And again, as you underscore, Matt, this is why we must wait until the next president can appoint somebody who is like-minded and shares the constitutionalist views of Antonin Scalia.
And I mean, this is just absurd to talk about teachers and government workers who make very little money as it is, who have very little freedoms as it is, to take away their freedom. It's just an absurd decision anyway.
You know, Rebecca Friedrichs was honored along with me at the California Republican Assembly earlier this year, and she received, as I did, the Ronald Reagan Freedom Fighter Award. I got a chance to meet her and spend some time with her and her husband there. She has been a teacher for 30 years, a very strong Christian. She took on a very powerful teachers union, and as a result of that, she is being targeted and harassed by the other union leaders. So now that this case has come up with a 4-4 split and she is not in the winning side of things, I'm sure she's going to be targeted and harassed. She had to literally have some really strong courage to take this on, and she did. And this could have been the major union case, because what happened is there was, in the 1970s, cases that the Supreme Court ultimately decided wrongly, but they upheld these forced union cases. And that's where Rebecca and others like her, when they're teaching, say, in Orange County, California, wherever it might be in the country, they object to the union, but they still have to pay certain union dues. Well, although they are paying these union dues, these unions are very political and oftentimes, most often, are very, very liberal. They are funding the liberal, democratic, socialist machinery, and people like Rebecca object to that, and others do as well. They ought to be able to go in and work and teach and do whatever else they do wherever they are in the country and not be forced to participate in a union. I mean, this is so anti-American to be forced to participate in a union and to have your hard-earned dollars pay for an organization with which you vehemently disagree. Now, this case, as Matt, you were saying, the reason why the Supreme Court took this case is that there were five votes on the Supreme Court to go back more towards the original understanding of the Constitution, reject these liberal, radical, activist 70s rulings, and give freedom to the worker. And now it's a 4-4 split, meaning that nothing has changed and we're back to square one.
And the Supreme Court already said they were going to rule it unconstitutional before with Scalia on the bench, didn't
they? Yeah, well, what happened was a number of the justices had already made comments. So there's no case that said that they were going to rule it, but the number of the justices had made comments, so you know where they were leading on other cases. And so that's why it was a 5-4 decision. It could have been a huge victory for workers, but now we're back to square one.
And so the shockwaves from the death of Antonin Scalia and Justice Scalia continue to reverberate, Matt. The tragedy here is that it could be decades before they get another stab at righting this un-American wrong, correct?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, this case was argued last year. It was argued at the end of 2015. And based upon that oral argument, again, the indication was it was going to be a 5-4 decision against the unions and for the workers. Well, we come to 2016, and the decision is in the writing phase. The justices had already voted, obviously. And there's no doubt in my mind it was a 5-4 decision. I don't have any idea who was writing that particular opinion. It could have been Scalia. I don't know. But then Scalia dies, and his vote is voided. And thus you come out with this 4-4 split. It's really a sad day. But it also goes back to what we've said earlier, that it's very important who fills the seat, because it could have come out if we had Merrick Garland or someone else that is an Obama nominee. It could have come out 5-4, but which way? 5-4 for the unions, and then we could have another couple of decades of this forced unionism.
So is there any hope now for Rebecca and these other teachers? Where does it stand for them?
Well, not in California, because you'd have to have a state law in California that, you know, like, for example, Florida's a right-to-work state. California is not. Other places are not. You'd have to have that adjusted at the state of level, but that's not going to happen for her or any others in California or some of these other union states. The only other hope is to fill the seat of Scalia with someone like a Scalia and start this process over again. So we're looking at several years down the road, assuming that you get a constitutionalist to fill the seat of Justice Scalia.
And even then, you would have to have somebody file a lawsuit in a union state.
Yeah.
They would have to make it all the way through the appeals process. The Supreme Court would have to again take the case, agree to hear the case, agree to hear oral arguments, and come up with a decision. And so there are a lot of variables here. The Supreme Court only takes less than 1% of the cases that come before the court. So now, with all the variables that would have to line up, you know, effectively, this is very, very concerning.
So we definitely need to pray, because Obama's nominee is not one who's going to fit that bill.
No, it's not going to fit the bill. So that goes back to some of the other things that we've been talking about, that I would encourage you to go to libertycouncil.com to sign up for the Liberty Council Action and Liberty Council Grassroots Action email. Both of those are different, but they're going to be focused on a lot of issues that affect our family, faith, and freedom, one of which is this Senate vote. We are asking them not to hold a hearing on any Obama nominee to the Supreme Court. No hearings on any Obama nominee. Go to libertycouncil.com or lc.org. Sign up for some of this information through email, through our newsletters. Plug in, get involved, because you can make a difference. We are making sure that our senators around the country, particularly on the Judiciary Committee, hear us loud and clear. No hearings, none, on any Obama nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. He has the right to make a nomination. He's done that. The Senate has a constitutional right to oppose it, and that's what they're doing. But we need to make sure that they stand strong, because frankly, the future of the court for decades and of America is hanging in the balance, because the nominee from Obama is not a Scalia, and he ultimately would bring judicial activism to the court. And so this case could have been 5-4 the opposite way had Obama put his nominee in Scalia's position. Again, go to lc.org or libertycouncil.com.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website is lc.org. Become an active partner with Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.